Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Republic, Lost: How Money Corrupts Congress and a Plan to Stop It, is a political nonfiction book by Lawrence Lessig, a Harvard law professor known for his work on law, digital rights, and institutional reform. Published in 2011, the book argues that the central crisis in American democracy is not simply partisan conflict or individual misconduct, but a deeper system of dependence in which elected officials must spend so much time raising money that they become structurally responsive to major donors and organized interests. Lessig calls this institutional corruption behavior that may be legal but still distorts the public purpose of government. The book examines how campaign finance, lobbying, and court decisions have combined to weaken democratic accountability, then proposes several routes for reform, including public financing and even constitutional change. Its purpose is both diagnostic and practical, to explain why Congress fails to address major national problems, and to outline ways citizens could help restore trust and representation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book redefines corruption as an institutional problem, not just individual wrongdoing. Lessig's most important move is conceptual. He argues that American politics is damaged less by isolated bribery scandals than by a system that rewards dependence on private money. In this framework, legislators are not necessarily immoral people. They are operating inside a structure that pushes them to spend large amounts of time courting donors and safe political contributors. That dependence can shape priorities even when no explicit quid pro quo exists. This distinction matters because it changes the remedy. If corruption is treated only as personal dishonesty, then reform is limited to punishing bad actors. Lessig instead describes a systemic problem that must be corrected through rules, institutions, and incentives. The argument gives the book its analytical force. It explains why Congress can appear functional in formal terms, while failing in practice to serve the broader public interest. The concept of institutional corruption also helps connect many visible symptoms, such as lobbying pressure, campaign fundraising, and legislative gridlock, into one coherent diagnosis. Secondly, campaign fundraising is presented as the engine that distorts legislative priorities. A central claim in the book is that elected officials spend too much of their working time raising money, and that this dependence shifts attention away from governing. Lessig uses this reality to explain why Congress repeatedly postpones major issues such as healthcare, climate policy, and long-term fiscal problems. The problem is not only that donors sometimes influence specific votes, it is that the need to raise money changes what legislators focus on, which meetings they take, which voices they hear most often, and which topics become politically survivable. In this sense, money does not merely buy outcomes, it reorganizes the agenda of democracy. Lessig stresses that this dynamic affects both parties, and is therefore not reducible to one ideological camp. That broadens the book beyond ordinary partisan criticism. It also explains why reform is difficult. Politicians who benefit from the current system must vote on changes that would weaken the very incentives supporting their campaigns. The book's argument is strongest when it shows that legislative dysfunction is tied to fundraising dependence, not simply to polarization or incompetence. Thirdly, Supreme Court doctrine and campaign finance law are treated as major barriers to reform. Lessig devotes substantial attention to the legal environment that protects the current system. He argues that modern court decisions, especially those treating political spending as a protected form of speech, have narrowed the options available to reformers. This matters because it means ordinary statutory fixes may be unstable or too limited. The book does not merely lament bad policy. It shows how constitutional interpretation has created a legal structure in which large political spending is difficult to restrain. Lessig's critique is notable because it is not anti-constitutional in spirit. Instead, he argues that the Constitution has been read in a way that undermines Republican self-government by allowing extreme dependence on money. That is why the book often returns to the idea that structural change must be strong enough to survive court challenges. By locating the problem partly in constitutional doctrine, Lessig raises the level of analysis from campaign tactics to the legal architecture of democracy. This also explains why his proposed solutions are unusually ambitious compared with more conventional reform proposals. Fourthly, the book lays out a ladder of reform strategies, from legislation to constitutional amendment. Rather than relying on a single fix, Lessig presents several paths toward reform. These include congressional legislation, the use of a high-profile supercandidate to force reform commitments, pressure from an elected president, and a constitutional convention leading to a reform amendment. The range of options reflects his recognition that the normal legislative process may be blocked by the very dependence problem the book diagnoses. Among these strategies, he favors constitutional reform as the most realistic way to overcome entrenched legal and political obstacles. This is a key feature of the book. It combines criticism with institutional design. Lessig is not just identifying failure. He is trying to map possible leverage points within a broken system. The presence of multiple strategies also makes the book more than a legal tract. It becomes a political action plan aimed at changing incentives, building public pressure, and creating a reform coalition large enough to move beyond rhetoric. Whether readers agree with the feasibility of each proposal, the structure of the argument shows that Lessig is thinking in terms of systems change rather than symbolic reform. Lastly, the book tries to rebuild democratic legitimacy through citizen participation and public trust. Beyond campaign finance mechanics, Republic Lost is concerned with the health of democratic culture. Lessig argues that when money dominates politics, citizens lose trust not only in Congress, but in the idea that government can represent them. That loss of legitimacy is for him as serious as any policy failure. He responds by emphasizing the role of ordinary citizens in reform movements and by suggesting participatory mechanisms such as citizen assemblies or convention-style deliberation. This is where the book becomes more than an anti-corruption argument. It is also a defense of civic agency, built on the idea that politics should not be left entirely to professionals and donors. Lessig's appeal to public participation helps explain why the book resonated with activist movements and reform-minded readers. It speaks to a deeper democratic question: how can people believe government is theirs if the rules of influence are tilted so heavily toward wealth? The answer the book offers is that legitimacy must be rebuilt through structural reform and broader citizen involvement, not merely through better messaging or cleaner personalities. In conclusion, Republic Lost will be most valuable to readers who want to understand American political dysfunction at a structural level, rather than through partisan commentary alone. It is especially useful for students of law, public policy, campaign finance, constitutional reform, and democratic theory, as well as general readers concerned with why Congress often seems unable to act on widely recognized problems. The book offers two main benefits. Intellectually, it gives a clear framework for understanding institutional corruption and shows how legal incentives can distort democratic outcomes without obvious illegality. Practically, it lays out several reform strategies and invites readers to think in terms of institutional change rather than isolated scandals. What sets it apart from many books in the same category is its combination of legal analysis, political diagnosis, and reform advocacy. Lessig is not simply denouncing money in politics. He is building a case for why existing structures fail and why durable change likely requires constitutional imagination. That mix of diagnosis and actionable, if ambitious, reform makes the book distinctive within the literature on democratic renewal. If you would like to support Lawrence Lessig, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.